We need like a spooky intro.
Did you guys see the spooky ghost? The endoplasm? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Oh. Randy!
Welcome in to the second episode of the Conspiracy Theory Podcast from the Tree Fort Gang. Although this one's not really conspiracy. I guess it's just like hot topic ideas. Things that are fun to talk about and fun stories that pop up. With you as always, Philip Outen, captaining this voyage. Who's here with me?
You got a full house today. You got Joe John in the house, fresh off of drafting the best Marvel team, even though the chatbot disagreed.
I love ChatGPT.
There are three other dudes in this pod.
There's a reason I pay $7 a week for that. Oh, can you guys hear me? I'm still connected to my headphones.
Biased AI. I told you, bought and paid for.
I would argue that it's less biased because I have to pay for it.
Yeah,
it's telling it's not you red. It's
not red or blue. It's green.
So, Tony Citation back for the second episode this season. Excited to be back after drafting a very strong Marvel team. And
I will agree with that.
I think at the point team. At this point, will we have drafted our fantasy teams yet?
Yes.
I may be listening to this and roster baiting at the same time.
True. Double roster baiting.
While listening to the podcast about the spooky.
Two-hand shame.
Two-handed roster baiting.
Not being said, Stevie P, once again.
What do you do with the what do you do with the second hand?
Top half.
You can do
click
that.
The mouse.
Sit on it and set it up for the stranger.
Yeah.
Spit on that thing.
Spit.
Dude, I am so tired of seeing the Hawktua girl.
Yeah, she's
on her third.
She's still doing like podcast tours, bro. Her, I know, but
strike while the iron.
I do not fault her at all.
No, I don't
she
either.
She agrees that it's a stupid thing to get famous for, but she's like, shit, dude, if you guys are going to pay me to do this, I'm going to keep
good for her.
I'm going to roll with it.
She's on minute
she's
like
being broadcast everywhere. That's not her fault. It's like people getting mad at Taylor Swift when she was being shown on the NFL all the time. Like, that's the broadcaster showing her. It's not her fault.
I also think that the girl, did you see the video of the girl who did an interview? And the guy was like, what would you do if you won $1 million? And she's like, got a mouthful of food, and she's like, open up a fire.
No,
you guys didn't see that one? I thought that was a lot more wholesome than Hawktua. But she didn't get as famous, sadly.
It was
hilarious.
That's funny.
She's got a mouthful of food, there's food on her face, she's really cute. And he's like, what would you do if you won $1 million or whatever? And she's like, open up a fire. And he's like, what? Like, what are you saying? Anyway. That's wifey.
Yeah.
Open a buffet. Love you.
Yep. But so welcome into the second episode here of our discussion thread. Last week. God, we talked about aliens and their existence and interesting stories and what's going on in the cosmos. Have you been molested by an alien? Kind of all of that.
I'm gonna turn the lights down so it gets like spooky in here.
That's a good call. Set the vibes, fellas.
Yeah, like when you're watching like TikToks, for those that participate at the end of the night, and it's like scary because the lights are out.
And Phil, to your point, this one isn't necessarily a conspiracy, but it is a open-minded discussion regarding something out of the ordinary, something more on the taboo side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's It's a controversial
spiritual side.
Yes. And
we're talking about ghosts.
Ghosts.
Ooh, spooky little ghosties.
And we're not talking about, like, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost or anything like that. Like, we're here to discuss, like, real experiences, real not easily explainable happenings to us, some personal stories I'm sure we're going to share.
We're talking ghosts that'll grape you in your sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sucking on your toes if you leave it out of the blanket. Things getting crazy.
All right.
And so as the, you know, leader of the voyage here, you know, I'll kind of start the discussion with really dipping into the experiences, right? I can't say that I will say I have one ghost experience, and Tony Citation was there with me.
She went on a couple dates with you and then just stopped answering.
Oh, I've got tons. Ah,
that's so scary. Tons of
She was never heard from again.
Well, she said she'd go get breakfast with you.
Might be pregnant.
But she said that's okay.
Story of my life.
To go to is right across the street.
It's okay to have no plans the rest of the weekend.
So this ghost story. And now, I'm not a firm believer in ghosts, but I do like to think that, like, if they exist.
You are firm. You're just not a believer in ghosts.
Right, exactly.
Sorry, I keep cutting you off, but these are great one-liners.
Yeah, you're really killing it right now. I'd say that I've always been friendly to the ghosts, that I'm like, all right, I'm in my house here. If there's any ghosts, just let me know. Whatever you want, like, let me know. We'll be cool about it, all right? But this particular ghost, like I said, Tony Citation was with me. We were in Baltimore, beautiful Baltimore, for a bachelor party for a dear friend. And we, after dinner, decided to do a haunted beer tour or pub crawl or something like that. Pub crawl, yep. And this was fresh off eating 11 of 12 crabs. And I just got so hammered.
Why didn't you finish it?
I didn't want to eat the last one. It took too long, and I was
drunk. Pub crawl to go to afterwards.
And we had a pub crawl. I gave it to a homeless man.
Generous.
Yeah. So we did the pub crawl, and I think it was the last stop. Super exhausted, super drunk by that point. And we're in a bar that the upstairs was a brothel back in the 1800s. It was a favorite bar of a one Edgar Allan Poe.
True.
And the lady running the tour was like, you know, a lot of bar patrons will see ghosts of the prostitutes and, you know, see them upstairs, and you can't go upstairs. That's where, like, it's like forbidden to go up there.
Right. Storage.
Yeah. So I was like sitting in the booth. I think I was by myself. I don't know where anybody was. And all of a sudden I feel a tug on my pants, and I exclaim, "Ah, a ghost just grabbed my penis." And while
this is a real story.
Yes, this is a real story.
Okay. I thought the way you just thought it was a bit.
No.
Zero emotion behind it.
Yeah. Just yes. I said it exactly that way while the tour guide is talking about something. Let's just grab my penis. That's my ghost story. I got an HJ from a ghost. A ghost prostitute.
Maybe you just end the podcast right there.
It was
the tour guide was so
mad. Yeah, because we were just outrageous the whole time.
We were just laughing in the back, and we went to some like really small, tiny bars, and we were. Matt was on point that night.
That was a mess. Michael North was a mess.
Michael North was a mess.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Mr. Berries as well.
The buddy. Oh, yeah. Joey Berries was there. It was the Bachelor.
Oh, gotcha. What was I going to say?
Was it a firm tug or was it like a soft stroke?
It was like a nice little, like a jiggle. Whoa. All
right. So do you think it was a prostitute or was it Edgar Allan Poe?
The jury's out on that one. I don't know.
Did it feel like a man hand?
It felt like men were smaller back then, so I don't know. But
what the ghost said too.
Was it a dainty hand? That's nails. What the ghost
said. That
felt long and spindly like a writer.
That ghost was probably like, "Ooh, this feels like a nice 1800s penis." I'm like, you'd be correct.
That's bigger than anything I've ever experienced.
Not in 2015 or whatever.
So, did that experience, on a serious note, did that experience like kind of mess with you? Like,
it felt great. I wish more ghosts would do that.
Did that kind of open your mind to the possibility that ghosts are for sure real and some of them may actually be horny?
So, well, yeah. I mean, that's phenomenal. If they're out there and the ghosts are like looking to get pounded out, I mean, sure. Come on through. Are we including incubuses and succubi or succubuses in this?
Some ectoplasm.
Those aren't really ghosts.
I mean, that's not a ghost. Yeah. But if you want like a female ghost-ish, I actually have sort of a story.
Let's hear it.
Want me to segue? It's not a sexual female ghost. Oh. But this is going
back. God, I'm already hard as fuck.
So this is going back.
Porn hub sources later just going to be ghost porn.
Well, my family, I'm Irish. So go back. I'm actually second generation. My grandfather came over here from Ireland. And as far as actual real ghost stuff is concerned, he believed in, you know, something being around in the afterlife. And our last name begins with an O. So this thing follows, I guess, it follows last names that begin with O and Mac. Like McAllister or MacArthur, anything along those lines, or O'Toole or O'Callaghan, this creature follows them and is not the ringer of death, but the warning of death.
Big Mac.
It's the Banshee. And my granddad actually told me that he heard it one night. And this guy was like, and actually where he heard it too is kind of interesting. He played rugby in Ireland back in the day. So, you know, he wasn't like...
Your grandfather?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he wasn't like a bitch. Okay, he was also a butcher. So he, you know, did he believe in ghosts and stuff? Yeah, but did that stuff ever scare him? No.
Hard man.
When he told the story, I actually had to confirm it with my mom before I got on the podcast tonight. She was like, oh yeah, no, he tells that. He used to tell that story all the time. That scream he heard that night, he was at an away game at a rugby match. They had finished the game. They'd gone out to the pub, finished drinking that night. They had all gone to bed. And he woke up in the middle of the night
and a couple of other teammates and heard this like scream, not human scream. And he's like, we don't know what it was. He goes, but I'll never forget the sound. He goes, and I could feel it chilling, like chilling scream in my bones. He's like, I wasn't scared. I was just like, what is happening? And they found out the next day that an elderly woman in town, McGrath, had died that night, about 20 minutes after they heard the screams. So the Banshee is said to like call out screams, let people know that death is coming. And it doesn't matter if the person is even in the country or not, I guess. If they like leave and go to the US or another country, their family will hear the scream of the Banshee before the death. So they may even know the person died before they get the news of the person dying. So that's my like ghost story. Not mine really, but like my granddad experienced that when he was still living in Ireland back in the day. I feel like you hear more stories about places that are, you know, older. The older the place is, the more likely it is to have those kind of stories. And she said to be like, if you see the Banshee, it's like a woman who might be sitting under a tree with a lantern that's kind of see-through-ish, or she may be floating like above a field if you actually see her. But yeah, that's that story. I guess my grandmother also apparently at one point lived in a haunted house. Her grandmother's house was haunted. Things like the keys would go missing, and then they would find them. Like how they'd find them was they would fall from the middle of the ceiling onto the floor out of nowhere. Like how they just fall out of the ceiling. Stuff like that, I guess. Yeah. Like, where are the keys? They're nowhere. And then they'd hear a big clang.
Can I just say that if I were ever in that situation, I'm not trying to be funny whatsoever, I would fucking leave immediately. No,
I'm cracking jokes off immediately.
I'm gone. I don't play with that shit.
Yeah.
Like if I start experiencing
I guess the Banshee doesn't hurt you. It just lets you know that someone's dead or about to die.
Because you said that they hurt the Banshee and then it just killed some woman across town.
No, so, some woman died, not from her. If I said it killed some woman, they found out the next morning that a woman had passed 20 minutes after they heard
the scream. I was going to say, if I hear the scream, you know, if it was just some lady in town, pretty good chance no one I know is going to die. So that's not that big of a deal.
I think it's eerie. Like,
but if it is a warning someone I know is going to die, then obviously I'm terrified.
Yeah. Well,
I could hear gunshots. And it's the same thing. That startles me.
He's dropping from the middle of the ceiling. I'm gone. See ya.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fuck that.
Blow the fucking house up. Don't care.
My mother also said that my Nana, the house that was haunted, one night in the middle of the night, they heard the sewing machine going. And her mother went upstairs to tell her daughter, stop sewing, it's too late at night, it's too loud. And this was the old school, like, foot pedal sewing machines. And she opened the door, and there was nobody at the machine, and the foot pedal was just going. And you had to, like, really put your foot down to make it go. So,
nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Uh-uh.
Bye. Burn the house.
They did. They came to the U.S.
Yeah, good idea.
Well, she did.
Any of these
right idea. Seriously.
Fall out of the wall and just be like fucking nude and running around with their hairy nuts hanging out?
Well, that's the, like you don't know, right? So on the topic of ghosts, there's good ghosts, there's neutral ghosts, and then there's bad ghosts, demons, right? Like you don't know.
Good and bad on both sides.
Right, but you don't know what it is. So, you know, and I'm trying to speak to everybody, you know, people who believe and who don't believe, like, if logically, right, let's say that ghosts are real, and then there's the angels, and there's demons, and there's everything in between. You don't fucking know what that ghost is in your house. It could be good. It could be a demon. Right, so yeah. Why would you take that risk? Not taking that risk. I'm on the fence as a believer. Like, I've had experiences myself I'll get into, but if keys are dropping from the middle of the ceiling or sewing machines are going on their own, I'm fucking gone. See ya. I'm getting my kids. I'm out. I'm not playing. Burn the house down. Sell it. Don't care. I don't care if I lose all my money. I'm gone. Bye.
Well, yeah, ghost.
I keep looking at the door behind me like I fucking dare
you. I know. I got spooked a second ago.
I dare you.
See that door creaking just that little bit.
I should just close it all the way, but then it's like I don't want to jump scare when I open it and then there's something in my face.
Well, you're good. This is
the he's just starting to lag. I thought they got him.
But so Jojon, to pivot here, you said that it would really only scare you if the Banshee was a warning that someone you knew or your family would be passing shortly, right? So if that is the case, why would that scare you more so than just hearing it and knowing someone's going to die? Because that someone could be anyone. It could be you.
People. Well, I mean, it was for that room of guys. It was just an old lady. People die all the time.
Right. So it would be more like scary in the fact that you're about to lose someone you know or care about. That's the part that's
scary. Yeah. Because there's no consequence if
not the ethereal screaming.
Well, yeah, but like I'd be like, that was fucking scary. But at least I'm
cool. You're like, oh shit, who's that? Oh shit, who's is anybody sick on their deathbed?
Right.
Or an unexpected death? Like, oh shit, who could that be?
Yeah, so I guess that'd be good. Why to did clarify.
You hear it too? Why did you hear it too?
That's right. Tough. So
well, that's what I'm saying. Because if it's just someone I don't know,
could it be?
That was the case for my granddad. He didn't know the person. But that's also the other connection with like the Max and the O's. His last name begins with an O, so there's like some sort of like you're more ancient.
Okay.
You're more ancient family of Ireland, like any last name that begins with a Mac or an O. That's where that connection to the Banshee comes in.
And that's fair.
She was a McGrath, and he is an O'Brien. So
that makes sense then.
He and a couple of other guys on the team that may have been either not have the last name O or Mac, but have been, that their grandparents' surname may have been able to hear it as well. Because a couple of the guys on the team heard it. That was the other thing that was weird. It wasn't just him. He didn't sit up and down and was like that. And everyone else is like, you're nuts. A bunch of guys were like, we all heard it too.
There is some type of connection in the Banshee situation between the O's and the Macs. So yes. If an O or a Mac is going to die, Banshee will scream and O's and Macs will hear it.
Yes.
And so it could be like you could be the one to die or someone in your family who shares your last name. Okay. So that is scary to me.
Yeah, in that situation. Give me out of here.
The only thing scarier than death is the absolute knowledge of it to me. Like knowing
when it's coming,
whether it be you or someone you love or care about or know, that is terrifying to me. Okay. I think the not knowing makes it a little bit easier. So that is a very terrifying experience to me.
Yeah, personally. They call it a morning eening, heening.
Yep.
The sound.
That's freaky.
Yeah, it's got its own name. Now I'm scared. These pictures are terrifying.
Yeah, she's just like, kind of looks like an elderly woman.
The pictures actually aren't terrifying, but it would be scary. It
would be scary if you walked out of your house and saw that. That would be.
Oh, yeah.
After hearing a noise and looking out and seeing like some chick sitting under a tree with like a veily thing, and then she just kind of like slowly walks away into the mist.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like.
That's like a. Like, I don't think her. In like her self would scare me. It's the message she brings that would freak me out.
Yeah, no,
it would be a little like I'd probably get chills. Like, oh shit, you know, is that what I think it is? But
oh no, like you would know.
Yeah,
like according to my granddad, you would absolutely know because it's nothing you've ever heard before.
Tony, have you seen The Banshees of Inisherin?
No,
it's a great movie.
So. I want to pivot to Jojon. You said in our chat last night or this morning, you said you had a story.
Well, I just thought the ghost idea for the second episode was just kind of like the no-brainer. I don't have like a crazy story. My parents' house is kind of like a loop, but one of the hallways is like the master bathroom that goes from the master bedroom into like the kitchen. So it was just one time when me and my brother were kids, we were watching TV with our mom in the living room. And from where you were in the living room, you could look over into the kitchen. And my dad would just watch his own shows, whatever, from his room. So he would just, you know, go from his room through the master bedroom, grab beers or whatever he was doing by himself when he was just chilling, with us fucking kids. Just kidding, like my dad. The only thing was, and it seemed incredibly real. Even like trying to remember it now, but we all three of us just assumed that he walked from his room into the kitchen, like we saw him like walk in there without the light on. And I don't remember how we like started talking to him, but we yelled, like we tried to say something and he's like, "What? I can't hear you." 'Cause he was yelling down the hallway from his bedroom. So he was still in the bedroom, but we all swore we saw him walk into the living room or, into the kitchen. It was incredibly real. So it wasn't anything like super vivid. It was just, you know, like shadows, but we all swore that we saw him.
That's still freaking.
You know, who's had a lot of ghost interaction is Rose Murray. We need to get her back and, dive into this topic, maybe in the part two episode of ghosts.
Yeah.
I'm always down to hear people's personal experiences.
Yep.
I have a couple for you guys.
Yeah,
you
know, that was mine. That so there is, fuck over yours.
There is ghosts. Like, do we all believe that there are ghosts out there? Like, is that, what's the thoughts on that?
So do we want to
hear Stevie P's?
Let's hear his story.
Let's hear his stories and then
I already said the answer, yeah. But
I have personal and then like personal proxy experience. And then I have a close friend of mine's experience that I'll share. And then I'll have another person whose experience I have permission to share, but I can't disclose who it is. So I'm going to, they asked me not to use their name. So my personal experience.
Tree Fort gang name?
What?
You'll be able to get their Tree Fort gang name? Do you know their middle name? And,
I don't know their middle name, unfortunately.
Damn.
Stevie, when did the door shut behind you?
I closed it because I'm pretty sure I heard my wife walking around. I don't want to keep her up because
was
it pretty much done with this glass of scotch? So I know I'm feeling it. I'm Greek, so I'm loud, especially when I'm drinking. But my personal experience. So this was up in the Scottsville region, you know, so farmy. A lot of trees, a lot of space. And my aunt and uncle, their house is a pretty big house and it's on quite a bit of land. Not a lot around it at all, just trees. And they were all, my aunt, uncle, my cousins, they were all out of town for the weekend for a tournament up in Canada. So I just, you know, went there to stay the night by myself. I was like, you know, just stay the night, you know, not in my mom's apartment. So I'm laying in my cousin's bed on the second floor and I'm just sitting there texting like, Hey, you up, just firing them off. And then I start hearing like a conversation. You know how you can tell like when people are talking in the distance, having a conversation, you don't know what the hell they're saying, but you can tell there's someone talking. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, okay, like someone must've left the TV on or something. So I start walking around the second floor. I'm checking all the bedrooms. Like there's no TV. I'm like, all right. So then I go down to the first floor. I'm looking around the living room. There's no TV on. Go to the kitchen because there's a small TV there. It's not on. I'm like, all right, well, maybe it's the basement TV. It'd be really loud, but, you know, maybe that's it. So I go down to the basement, and I get to the bottom of the stairs. And I'm hitting the light switch, and the light ain't going on. And I was like, what the hell, dude? So I just pop my head around the corner, and TV's not on. So I'm like, all right, I'm still hearing it. But I can't tell where it's coming from. So then I start making my way back up to the first floor. And as I get to the first floor, it stops. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, maybe I'm just hearing shit. I'm tired, whatever. So I go back up to the bedroom. I'm laying down. And then I start hearing it again. And I'm like, all right, maybe it was like that brief moment. In between commercials that I looked at the TV, like where it's a black screen for a few seconds, you know? So I start checking it. You know, I go around the second floor, nothing. Go around the first floor, nothing. I go down to the basement. The light turns on this time. And I'm like, all right, cool. TV's not on though. I get back up to the first floor and it stops. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on, dude? So I go back and I lay down and it starts happening again. And at this point I'm pissed and I'm like, okay, one of my cousins probably stayed home and they're fucking with me. So I grab my cousin's, his bat and I'm walking around the second floor. I'm like, you know, whoever the fuck is here, like, stop fucking with me. I'm tired. It's freaking me out. I'm trying to go to bed. So then I go around the second floor, nothing. First floor, nothing. I go to the basement, the light's not working again. Nothing's down there though. I get back up to the first floor. And to give you an idea of how my aunt and uncle's house is set up, the front of the house, you know, you walk in the front door, you're in the first floor. But the back of the house, it's a big drop off. So the foundation, like the first floor, if you go to the windows to the on the back of the house on the first floor, it's like a 30, 40 foot drop. Like it's a big drop. There's no way to get to the ground from the first floor. So anyway, I get to the first floor and it stops and I'm looking around and I'm cold. So I go around the corner into like the kitchen breakfast area and one of those windows is wide open and the curtains are blowing and it's the middle of winter and no one's home. No one's going in or out of that window. They're going to have broken legs. Right. And, it was just really freaky. So I left and that was my personal experience. So fast forward like a week, right. I'm out with my buddy. My cousin calls me, my cousin, Zach. He's the one that lives in that house. And he's like, dude, do you remember that story you told me last week? What happened to you? It's happening to me right now. And I'm freaking out. So I left my, I drove there. And as I'm driving up his driveway, it's a pretty long driveway. As I'm driving up, I see him in his room with the bat on the second floor. Like it's the only light on. And he's just standing there with a bat on his bed. And to speed up the story, like same exact situation happened. We heard the voices. We just searched everything. I was walking around with a gun. He had his brother's crossbow. And we searched the whole house multiple times, dude. And dude, I'm not kidding you. We searched the whole house, nothing. We come from the basement to the first floor, the same exact window is open. And I was like, I'm going to assume that's been closed because I didn't see it open. He's like, dude, I wouldn't leave a window open. Like I checked it already. It was the first window I checked. So freaky. And his brother and sister, his younger brother and sister have said they've seen like silhouettes of people in the windows at night when no one else is home. Like they've seen some shit in that house, which is pretty, pretty freaky. Like my cousins all, they believe through and through, no question about it, that ghosts are real. And they're pretty sure that their parents' house is haunted in some capacity.
Right.
It's freaky.
No thanks.
I can't explain it. That still didn't really put me over the top with believing. I still think it might be explained in some way. The window part, I can't explain. I can't explain it at all. Unless someone's fucking me. That freaks me out.
He's rappelling down 30 feet at the front of the house and not being
there. You need a ladder. You're not jumping out that window and with both your knees intact. There's no way. It's impossible. My cousin broke his leg jumping out the window when he was young. There's no way to avoid breaking.
I love the way to explain it, though.
When he was young. Hold on. He wasn't an idiot as an adult.
I can't say we haven't thought about trying. But
okay, so what's the other story?
There's two more.
Bill's getting sleepy.
The second experience is my buddy's wife. Since she was a kid, she's always had the ghost of this elderly lady, just not necessarily follow her around, but everywhere she's been, occasionally like she's seen her. Never done anything, never. She said, you know, she was scared when she was younger, but as you know, you continuously see her, nothing happens. Like she doesn't get scared anymore. It's just like a part of her life. And like sometimes like she'll be laying in bed and she'll look over and she'll see the lady just like rocking in a chair across the room or like walking into the other room. She was like, there's times where I'd be outside and I'd be doing yard work and I'd see her through a window, like walking or just looking. And she's like, it sounds scary, but it doesn't scare me anymore because it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And my buddy, her husband, my buddy John, he, you know, typical blue collar dude. He does construction work. He's not one of those guys with a tinfoil hat on, right? And he's like, I never didn't believe. I just never really thought about the topic. But one day he got home from work early, so he was taking a shower, and his wife got home. And so when he was in the shower, she like ran her hand across the curtain, and he was like, hey, honey, like, you know, I'll be out in a minute. He gets out of the shower. His wife wasn't home. Yeah. And he was like, dude, I literally touched the hand. Like a hand went across the curtain and I touched it. And he was like, and then since that experience, like he said, he's seen it or he's seen her, I should say. and I was like, that doesn't sound normal, guys. Like you're trying to play this off as a casual thing. I don't,
you know, it's just this thing that hangs out near my shower and looks at me.
I was just spirit in some capacity that has latched onto your wife for the better part of what, 30 years now. Wow. And now it's also starting to interact with you. Like that is not normal, dude. That's scary as hell. And they're like, no, like it's not a threatening one. I was like, you don't know that. You don't know. They could be playing the long game, dude. Yeah. You don't know. In her entire life that she can remember that being there, I mean, that's a pretty good sign that if it was going to do something, it probably would have by now. But still, like that's unsettling, to say the least.
Yeah, I don't like that.
What is the one that you are protecting the person's identity?
So this one,
fully invested.
It's kind of wild.
Like they might go into witness.
I want to come out. Yeah. At the get-go and say, this is a person that I trust through and through, no questions asked, trust them with my life, wouldn't lie, and I'm willing to stake my name on that. So
get any harder.
This person, when they were younger, child, they had a bit of a speech problem. They would lisp a lot, and they had an imaginary friend, or at least that's what the parents thought. And then the imaginary friend was this old lady who would always just play with her, always just hang out. You know, the parents didn't think twice about it. Oh, you have an imaginary friend. Great, honey. Have a good time. And one day she was playing with her imaginary friend, and you know, the parents were in the kitchen just making coffee, hanging out, and I guess she walked around the corner with blood all over her face and her mouth, and her, you know, the parents were like, oh my god, like what happened, are you okay? And she said, no, I'm fine, my friend told me to cut the thing under my tongue to make me better. And long story short, I guess way back in the day, that was a common solution to fix a lisp, was to cut the tie underneath your tongue.
Wait, how old was this person, this child?
Like five.
So they didn't
five hear or six. Right.
How would they know to do that?
Exactly. How would a five-year-old in any generation know that that's a solution to fit? How does a five-year-old even know what a lisp is? How do they know that that's a problem, a speech problem? The parents never brought it up. They didn't think, you know, it is what it is.
They were just bringing her to a class.
Right. This was back in the early, the 90s, to set the time frame. So it wasn't that long ago.
You can snow a five-year-old into thinking that it's not a speech class.
So right. So, you know, the parents at that point were like, okay, something's not right. That is very worrisome that this imaginary friend is now convincing our young child to mutilate themselves, basically. Yeah. And their aunt, not the parents' aunt, but the child, this person I know, her aunt, more of the hippie type, you know, I'm sure you can imagine what I'm talking about. So the aunt was like, listen, guys, I think it'd be a good idea for the child to talk to my friend who is a medium. Mm-hmm. She's like, it's not going to hurt anything, whether you believe or not.
But she looked like
it doesn't really matter. If there's a chance that it's real, and then there's a chance that this imaginary friend couldn't exactly be friendly, and you might as well rule that out. So they agreed, and she went out to see this medium with her sister and the aunt. And they're all, you know, cliche medium thing. They're sitting around a table and there's a candle in the middle. It's kind of dark. They're all holding hands, typical shit. And the medium didn't seem scared or anything, pretty calm, and was like, there's definitely a spirit attached to this child. I can feel it. It's talking. And it's not happy right now. And they said that they're going to try to get a vibe from it, but they're essentially going to ask the spirit to just move on, to leave the child alone, go away, separate yourself. And they were holding hands, they're sitting, and the lady, the medium, was starting to get into a heated discussion with this spirit. And was like, you need to leave now. You need to leave this child alone in the name of God. Blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, typical, like, shit you would hear in a movie. Like, cliche. And the sister, this is an account from the sister. The sister was not a believer, you know, so she's eyes open, just kind of watching this go on. She's a little uncomfortable, like, what the hell is happening? The child and the aunt have their eyes closed, looking down, and the medium yelled like at the top of her lungs, "You need to leave!" And at that moment, candle blew out, and both the medium and the child like threw their heads back, and their eyes were in the back of their head, and took like massive deep breaths, like. And then it was silent for a few seconds, and then the medium was like, she's gone.
Oh, God.
And ever since that moment, the child was like, my imaginary friend's gone.
That's way scarier than the screeching.
You need to leave. Like I said, the person who told this to me, I do not question an ounce of the story.
Yeah.
Like they're uncomfortable talking about it. It freaks them out still to this day, which is why they don't really want their name tied to it. They're just like, you know, tell the story if you want, but just don't. I don't want people asking me about it. I don't want it to come back to me in any way. Just leave it.
Yeah. That's nuts.
And yeah. And that freaks me out. And that pushed me more towards believing, because I believe them wholeheartedly.
But they're all fine now, right?
Yes. Yep, perfect. Sisters. Like I said, since then, the younger child that had the imaginary friend,
yeah,
like literally, she said, my imaginary friend's gone when they left there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the child's an adult now, and she was like, yeah, I haven't seen her since. Nothing. Yeah.
Huge.
She remembers her.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Usually, like, you know, you forget your imaginary friends as you get older. So she
remembers. Mm-hmm. No, she remembers. She remembers what she looks like. Wow. All of it.
Do you remember cutting her tongue?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. Self-mutilation stuff. That's.
Yeah. It's freaky. And yeah. It's and that's what I was kind of getting at earlier, is you don't know what kind of spirit is around, whether or not you believe. Yep. In the event that you're wrong and it's true, then you have to agree that if it's true, you also don't know whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, you don't know.
It's a risk.
Yep. You know, the voices are saying.
Sleep tonight, so that's great.
Well, you got a hand job from a ghost, so obviously there's good ones.
Yeah, you
there are good ghosts out there.
Yes.
He or she was a good one.
Yep. And
the prostitute or Edgar Allan
Poe. You need to come.
All right, lady.
And it is.
Flesh me their souls.
In a way, I think it is tied to religion. And I have a cousin who was in a coma, basically almost died. And he has a crazy testimonial to his, you know, he was never big on religion. But when he woke up from that coma, he experienced things that completely changed
the way he views
both. Like the way he is a completely different person after that coma. He's like, I experienced things, I've seen things, I've heard things. He's like, ghosts are real, spirits are real. And he's big into his Christian faith now, which is pretty cool. But he corroborates the ghost stuff. He's like, I watched him, I've seen him, I've talked to him. He's like, I had an experience hovering over my own body, listening to my sisters have a conversation that my sisters confirmed after I woke up actually happened. And he had conversations with other spirits listening to that conversation.
I feel bad whoever's watching me. Just
just crank them out all the time, dude.
Just
crank. Let me get it for you, my guy.
So many people make that
call argument. You the destroyer of toilets.
Yeah.
People like, oh, I can't masturbate because my dead family members are watching me. I'd be like, so? Watch.
Look away, Grams.
Yeah.
Look at me. It's my room, bro.
Go bother somebody else.
I moved to North Carolina.
When I close the door, there's a reason. Okay?
There's a sock on my doorknob, Grandpa.
You can't go haunt my living room for like 3 minutes?
Yeah. Give me... three, maybe five. And
it's definitely some scary stuff. And I'm sure some of our listeners have experiences as well that I'd love to hear about.
Joe, did this sway you at all? Are you?
Am I convinced? No, I'm not. I'm not convinced.
No ghosts.
So we need to get Rose because hers are very convincing.
I think there's like weird shit that happens, but I don't think it's like, you know, I don't think it's anyone's spirit that no longer exists.
Well, Joe John, there's a bar in downtown New Bern that's supposedly possessed.
Oh yeah?
There's been a ghost hunter show there and everything. They have, it's like a big deal. So if you want to come down
to Cracker Barrel and then go to the New Bern bar.
Dude, yeah, I'd love to. Yeah.
TFG vlogs.
Make it a day, dude.
Yeah, so, vlog
it. The TFG vlogs, dude.
We're bringing back vlogs.
Dude, that would be awesome.
All right. So,
is Frontier Field haunted?
No.
I'm pretty sure it is. Pretty sure the ghost hunters were there.
Where?
Frontier
Field, where the Red Wings.
Rochester. Oh, really?
I'll look it up. Is it haunted there?
I'm almost positive it is.
Did you experience something there?
No, I just remember
a bunch of bad.
My car got broken into.
Yeah,
that would never happen. Hyundais.
Ghost experts from Rochester Paranormal were called in and officially concluded the stadium to be haunted.
See, I told you.
That's from October 23rd, 2017.
How is it haunted?
I don't know, dude. That's the Rochester Paranormal, whatever that is.
Yeah,
the next episode.
I don't remember why it's haunted.
Yeah, can we get one of them on? How cool would it be if we got one of them on for like an interview?
That'd be really cool.
See what I can do.
Oh, let me tell you this real quick.
Yeah.
After my buddy's wife told me the story about that old lady that follows her around that night when I was sleeping in the middle of the night, it was like that part of sleep where you're like you're about to be asleep but you're still kind of awake. Yep. And in my, like, I don't know if I was like my eyes were open or closed, but I saw this old lady like reach out and grab my throat, and my sister busted in the room because I guess I went and it scared her. She was in the other room. So I might be fucking haunted now. I don't know. I might be possessed.
Busted in the room, so she busted.
Which would explain why I'm wearing this headband. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Everybody was busted
in the room.
She opened the door. She's like, "Oh my god, are you okay?" And I was like,
"I got the email of the lady that posted that article, so we can see if we could get her on the podcast to talk about
email
it."
Email her, yes, email her.
All right. Well, this episode was a little bit longer than a drop-in, but we appreciate everyone sticking around and hearing the stories. And I think this is a great vein to go through because
Getty's so veiny,
so vein, so thick.
I've been told that.
like a nice Snickers bar.
a great vein.
Yeah, but
I knew you'd like that.
I mean, Gettysburg. Yeah, that's a big ghost destination, and my grandfather had a lot of stories to share. So I think for the next episode, we're going to have a lot of ghost talk. But appreciate y'all hanging around, and thank you all for being here. Tony, for coming back. Stevie, Joe.
Anytime, guys. Anytime.
Always appreciate it, and love you all. Have a great evening and sweet dreams. And don't let the ghosts jerk you off.
Yeah, watch something happy first before you go to bed.
Yeah, I don't need to.
Always watch a Disney movie. Always.
Or another TFG episode. Bye, guys. Subscribe before TFG episode.
Tree Fort Gang is an Audio Boom original podcast.